Yeah, we'll get back to the Mitzvah Shem. I haven't forgotten. But what I want to talk to you about today is Hezek Re'iyah, which means privacy, or the invasion of privacy. And what is its halachic status? And the reason I want to talk to you about that is, first of all, because it's relevant, it's very relevant. And secondly, because it really finds its source here in the parasha that we read yesterday, the parasha of Bilam. So if you take a look at the first paragraph on your right side that says Hezek Re'iyah, so by way of introduction, we see that Bilam bestows a bracha, against his will of course, on Klal Yisrael, and the pasuk says Vayar es Yisrael shachem l'shvatav. And immediately after that, when Bilam beholds how the tents of Israel are organized, he recites the very famous bracha. He says, Ma tovu olecha Yaakov mishkanosecha Yisrael. How goodly are your tents, O Jacob. And the pasuk doesn't really indicate exactly what he saw about the tents of Israel. And the Gemara in Baba Basra on Daf Samach Amid Aleph answers this question. Ma ra'a Bilam. What caused his attention? Ra'a she'ein pischei o'aleihem mechuvanim zelazeh. The openings to the tents were not organized in such a way that they should be placed opposite each other. They weren't placed opposite each other. And then the Gemara goes on to add a very important phrase. Now we're going to see this has halachic implications, not just philosophical. Omar, Bilam said, Ru'uyam halalu Shetishra Aleim Shechina. The reason why the people of Israel are worthy of Shechina is because of the way they dwell in tents and the way they regard privacy, and they protect each one's private domain, which is called Hezek Re'iyah. That brings the Shechina into Klal Yisrael. And therefore, what we want to discuss today, and I found this in the internet, somebody sent it to me and I thought it was very fascinating, bringing together a lot of source material on this issue of Hezek Re'iyah, which is a gigantic sugya in Masechta Bava Basra. We want to ask the following questions. Question number one, what are the basic halachos of protection of privacy, which are reflected by the Mesoris Yisrael, by the halacha? So to what degree does Jewish law actually guarantee the privacy of an individual? Question number two, is there mechila, he used the word vitur, I would substitute the word mechila, is there mechila for this kind of damage? And do we see it as like a monetary kind of thing, that you owe me money so I can waive my rights to collect that money? Or is it something beyond that, and that's where the Shechina is going to come into play? Question number three, is it possible that the minhagim, the customs that are accepted in a particular area, could have some bearing on the halacha? In other words, there's no absolute objective halacha of Hezek Re'iyah. It all depends upon how it's reflected in the custom of each particular place. And finally, is it possible that in modern times, the halachas could change? These are some of the questions that we want to analyze. So let's start with the basic halacha. The Mishnah in Bava Basra says, and this you'll see in the third parak of Bava Basra, Lo yiftach adam chalonosav lechatzer hashutfin. In other words, if you and your friend share a common courtyard, I have a third party, I'm not allowed to open up a window that would face the courtyard, the chatzer, of these two shutafim. And therefore the Gemara establishes that it cannot be petach keneged petach. You can't open up some sort of a door across from someone else's door, or chalon keneged chalon, a window against a window, because in all these cases there would be a violation of privacy, of Hezek Re'iyah. And the Gemara goes on to explain the halach of that Mishnah is derived from the pasuk Vayar es Yisrael shachem l'shvatav, from the fact that Bilam saw the way the dwelling of Israel was, and Ma Ra Bilam, as we saw before, because ein pischeim mechuvanim, ein pischei oleim mechuvanim zelaze, that the doors of the tents were not organized one against the other.
Is this like Dalaramas one from one another? Or like an apartment across the street from another apartment?
Okay, Belineta will get to that, Aaron. Hold on just a few minutes. Let's just get the basic halachas down. The Gemara says that lo yiftach adam chalonosav lechatzer hashutfin. A person is not allowed to open up a window into a commonly owned courtyard. The ein tzarich lomar means even to a chatzer hashutfin, the Gemara explains. In other words, even though it's not your own private chatzer, you know, in which case I'm really invading your privacy, even if it's already slightly public in nature because we have different partners who share ownership, nevertheless, it's prohibited. You can't open a window that will look into the yard or the courtyard that's owned by partners. And then the Mishnah goes on. The Mishnah says, chalon keneged chalon. You can't open up a window opposite a window, a door opposite a door. And this is referring to a place, for example, where the owner of the yard gave permission to open up a petach. What does that seem to imply? If we're talking about a case, kigon shebala chotzer nosan lo rishus liftoch petach o chalon, and nevertheless, it's still asur. What does this seem to imply? He can't be mochel. There's no din mechila. And this is reflected in the Shulchan Aruch in Kol Shei Mishpat Siman Kuf Nun Dalet. It was on the bottom of your page. It says that you're not allowed to open up a window against a window, a window against the yard, a window against the door, or the whole discussion. Now we move on to the second page, and it says that he has to be marchik, and again we're going to get into discussions about how far he has to be marchik, and there is no comment here in the Shulchan Aruch allowing such a thing in a case of mechila. No mention of mechila. So again, we have to distance ourselves. We can't open a door facing a door, window facing a window. And if the window or the door is facing a different yard to which he was given permission to open, oh, take a look at that. He says, "V'imu l'chatzar acheres shenasnu lo rishus liftoch pesach o chalon." Nevertheless, despite that fact, he still has to be marchik keneged pischo chalono shel chavero shelo yuchal liros bo klal. In other words, there's a double Easter here. There are two issues here. One is that I am invading your privacy, and the second is that I myself will be tempted to look into what's going on in your house. And that's what we're going to see in the next section over here with regard to miniat efsharut shel pgi'ah. Okay? What does this mean, miniat efsharut shel pgi'ah? We have to prevent the possibility of seeing into someone's private area. So in other words, what we're saying here, if you take a look at the text, is that the laws of Hezek Re'iyah are organized in such a way, and the principle behind them is not only to prevent a person from actually seeing into his neighbor's yard, but even from having the possibility of seeing into his neighbor's yard. That itself is prohibited. You see where he bolds those words, Befsharut shel Re'iyah. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. Even the possibility of seeing. So again, forget about the victim here, whose privacy is being invaded. That doesn't seem to be the be-all and the end-all. The victim will not be able to engage in private acts because people could see into him. So you might say, well, let him be mocha. In that case, he could waive it.
Mm-hmm. So the difference would be putting a curtain. Right now I can't see, but I have the ability to see.
Correct. And we're going to see that he's going to have to structure his window in such a way that even if he climbs on top of it, he won't be able to see. That's why I don't want to Okay, we'll see it down the line. So again, the din of Hezek Re'iyo, the Gemara is establishing, is that a person should not be able to use his private domain in the way he wishes. In other words, the victim now will not be able to live the way he wishes to live. He's inhibited from acting in his private property the way he wants to. But again, that's because of his ownership rights and his private property. So now by opening up this window, you are restraining him. He can't live the way he wants to live. You're being pogea, so to speak, in and undermining his private property rights. But then on that level, he could be mochel.
But aren't you restraining the guy also?
That's what I'm saying.
The guy with the window.
So you find a different way of organizing your window. You can't organize your window in a way in which you're going to cause a damage to someone else. What's the damage? The damage is that that person won't be able to live uninhibited. He has to curtail his living. So if somebody invades the privacy of his neighbor by opening up a window across from his own private domain, then what he's doing is his friend is being damaged, and his friend, by the way, could force him to close up the window. That's paskind also in Shulchan Aruch. Rishus biyado limnoa, and therefore, what's being said here, you see the paragraph that starts kmo chen, as we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch and also in the Rambam, that the law is that two neighbors could force each other to build a partition wall between their respective yards. That's the mission at the very beginning of Bava Basra. That means each one wants privacy, and therefore he could demand of his shutaf, of his friend in the same yard, that he chip in 50% of the cost of building this wall, so that they would guarantee that no one will damage the other one. And then it says, Hakol Kiminag Hamedina. Okay, we have to understand what that means. Everything reflects the minhag, the custom in that particular area. Okay. So now we get to the case of Mechila, which is on the bottom of your page. And Ma Dino Shel Adam, what's the law in a case of a person whose privacy is being invaded, but he doesn't say a word about it? Hu lo mochel kach. He does not put up a fight. He does not establish any sort of objection. Okay? So do we see this as mechila? Okay. So this becomes an issue of machlokas tanoim in the Gemara Bava Basra on Daf Nun Tes. There's Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Chiya. According to Rabbi Shmuel, if a person opened up a window and his friend who's being invaded now, if I could use that term, the victim, has not said a word about it, then his window gains what's called a chazakah. Chazakah means that since a certain period of time went by and the nizak did not make any mecha, the assumption is mechila. And Rabbi Chiya argues. Rabbi Chiya says that at any time, the nizak can stand up and make a mechon, decide that the person's window is causing him damage, and he has to close up the window. How do we paskin in this machlokas? Do we accept chazaka, or do we not? So if you take a look at the next to the last paragraph on your page, you'll see that the Rambam in Hilchas Shechinim in the sixth perek formulates the following halach. If a person
what are we saying until now that it doesn't matter if it's my fault?
Oh, so according to Rabbi Chiya, that seems to be correct, because Rabbi Chiya says there is no chazaka, and the fact that he was shoseik for X number of years is irrelevant. He could always come back and say, no, I don't like this situation. But according to Rabbi Yishmael, it seems that it is dependent upon Mechila, and that's what I want to learn with you, the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch, and Sima Kuf Mem Beis, to see how we pask.
Why is it dependent on Macha?
Why does he have to make a Macha? Yeah. Right. Okay, we're going to try to address this question. We still have some time. We just started just recently. Because it's only 1:33, so we started. Okay. So now, a person opens a window and there's no objection, there's no mecha. Okay? Says the Rambam, he does not acquire a chazok. Okay? So according to the Rambam, it would seem that there's no halach of chazok, and he seems to be reflecting the shita of Rabbi Chia, correct? And the Rambam explains why this is so. He says that there are two types of damages. There's damages to one's property, to one's possessions, and that lends itself to mechila and to chazaka. But then there's a different type, qualitatively different type of damage, and that's called hezek re'ia, or the invasion of someone's privacy. Okay? Says the Rambam, you can always evaluate a hezek to someone's possessions, to someone's property. You can ask the expert, and you go to the market, see what's worth and what's the value. But in the case of hezek re'ia, the Rambam says we can never exactly establish how much, we can never estimate how much the hezek re'ia was. Correct? Because even if in the past it didn't have such a negative, dramatic impact on me, but nevertheless in the future it might have a negative impact. And also we have to add another possibility here. There's an iser to look into someone's private property. And if that be the case, then even without mechah, the possibility of chazaka doesn't apply. So I'd ask you to turn to the next page. And this is called the iser histaklus, which means the prohibition against looking. And this is developed by the Ramban in his commentary on Bava Basra. The Ramban is adding a whole new element into the equation. Because when we analyze this situation from the perspective of the Rambam, we ask the question whether there is a chazok or there's not a chazok. But now, we're talking about a whole nother dimension to the problem. So, for example, according to the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch follows in the way of the chazaka. You can apply, theoretically, the concept of chazaka to someone who opens up a window and looks into someone else, because the neighbor demonstrates that he foregoes the fact that his friend is damaging him. And the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says that there is an opinion that says that there is no chazaka under any situations. And this last opinion, which is quoted by the Ramah, would reflect the Ramban's view. And that's the Ramban here in this paragraph called Ha'isur Shel Histaklus. According to the Rambam, we saw that there's such a possibility of chazaka. And then the Rambam is going to ask, what constitutes a chazaka, what is a mechila, and so forth and so on. But the Ramban says that a person who opens up a window, even if there's no objection, he acquires absolutely no rights whatsoever. In other words, according to the Ramban, take a look, he says, "Ein chazok al chalon u pesach keneged anifka, hamazik yochel lirchash chazok rak behezek mamoni." The concept of chazoka, says the Ramban, is only relevant in monetary damages, where there is a concept of mechila. Masha enkein, but on the contrary, k'sha'odam atzmo nizak u'mitztayer, but when a person himself is going to suffer, he says there's no such thing as mechila. So that's number one. Again, we're still on the side of the victim now, whose mechila is meaningless because he's mitztayer. V'od. Now he adds another dimension to it, and he says, Ein l'shaya mirosh et midat ha-nezek ha-tzfuya la-adam b'pki'at pratiuto v'lachein mechilato ein ha-mechila. So again, Rabbi Osai, so at this point, what we're saying is that a person does not realize how much suffering he might be caused, how much harm he might be done, and therefore chazok and mechila are irrelevant concepts. We also said that there's a difference between financial law and their het nezikin, as opposed to tsar. And in the case of tsar, we don't establish mechila. And then we're going to add a third element into the equation. Hasibash lishit. The Ramban adds another reason why the concepts of chazaka mechila don't play any role here. And that is kevon shebevaday also lemazik lahazik b'ri'iyah. In other words, there's a prohibition incumbent upon the mazik, because it's virtually impossible to live in a place and not look through your window. And if you're going to look through your windows, you're going to see something that you shouldn't be seeing. He says, "V'ein misha yuchal lizar b'davar lios kol hayom atzum einayim." What are you going to tell him? Every time he goes out of the door, he's going to keep his eyes closed. Right? It's not shayach. You can't. It's not practical to assume so. Al karchach, and therefore we have no choice but to tell him stone chaloncha, which means close up your window. The al techta tadir, and don't be in a constant state of sin. Klomar, which means milvat, in addition to the zchut of mamon, in other words, the monetary rights of the victim that are being affected because he owns this chatzer, he owns this bayis, and now he can't live in a comfortable way. Chal, in addition, there's an iser befal adam listakel l'toch reshuso shel chavero. And that halacha is brought down by the Ramah, reflecting that second opinion. The ofen shegamim kana shachen chazoka chalono opischo, even if the one who's opening up this window, this neighbor, has acquired ownership, monetary rights to put his window or his door there, adayin nevertheless osolo stakel al chavero. And therefore, we have to force him to close up the window. And this, we'll see, is going to be reflected in the Gemara in Bava Basra that we began with about the bracha of Bilam, Atov Ulecha Yaakov, that the Shechina is Shor of Yisrael because of the way their tents are set up. In other words, what we're talking about now is not just Dini Mavis. This supersedes beyond monetary law of Dini Nezikin. This is a special, qualitatively unique kind of Hezek. And we'll see in the Taz. And it's interesting, this Taz appears not in Choshen Mishpat, where all the dinim of Hezek Riyah, but rather in Hilchas, in Or Chaim. And there, in Hilchas Sukkah, the Taz says something very interesting. Mutar li adam li kanes l'sukaso shel zuloso shel omidaito. A person is allowed to enter into his friend's sukkah, even without permission. Kedei l'kayim mitzvah yeshiva v'sukkah. So you can fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. Meaning, on a monetary level, we assume that the owner of the sukkah is mochel. You know, what a great zchus it is that someone else will enter into his sukkah and use his sukkah for the mitzvah sukkah. But, says the Taz, nevertheless, even though, as far as the law of using someone else's property is concerned, you're okay, asur lasos kein, there's a certain period of time during the day when you're not allowed to do that, and that is b'shosh Allah nimtza v'toch sukkaso. If he's using the sukkah, you have no right to invade his privacy and use his sukkah. You need permission for that. B'shosh usham, when his friend, the owner of the sukkah, is there, after it's possible, dekapit alei, that he's mocked, but he doesn't want anyone to go in there. So yirech havero asokov v'achiloso b'li yidiyoso. He doesn't want to be surprised when someone enters in and sees what he's doing over there. And the Taz is so impressed with this svara that he says it's a davar muskan. Nobody could argue with it. And therefore, kasher adam over liad chalono shel chavero. Now we're talking about a person not who opens a window through which he can see into his friend's yard or his friend's house, but rather he's just passing by his friend's window. On both sides, this happens to me all the time. You're passing by some's window. Ein lo listakel l'toch beiso. He's not allowed to look through the window and see what's going on. And that's for two reasons. Number one, because he's interfering. And therefore he's being mazik, his friend. But that's less of a problem if you say that his friend opened up his window. You know, it's your problem. You left open your window. But there's another problem, and that is you might see something that you're not supposed to be seeing, and that's your problem, not his problem. And therefore, yesh ladun b'makom shel b'nei bayis, yesh efsharis liskaris havilon. So from the first perspective, since they could have closed it and they didn't do so, so they sort of like invited you, so to speak, to look through the window, but then you have your problem if you see something that you're not supposed to see. And here's the question that we want to raise. If there's an isur to look into someone's private domain, not only because the neighbor is suffering from hezek re'iyah, but also because you're not supposed to be looking, so then, when we say minhag ha-medina, that the custom, the local custom, determines the halacha of when you're allowed to open a window and a door and so forth, so when you're not, why should that custom be effective? Why should it be meaningful? And the one who first addressed this is the Rashba in a tshuva. You'll see this on the bottom right, minhag betos. You see that paragraph? The Rashba has a long discussion, which is very similar to his Rebbe the Ramban in his presentation. And he's dealing with the question of minhagim, of various customs, biyachas lehezek re'iyah, v'dina ba'alocha. And he says, lo rak sheyesh zchut mamonit limnoa me'acher liftoch pesach. The halacha of hezek re'iyah doesn't exhaust itself in the rights of the victim to object based on his monetary ownership. That the one who looks into his private property is violating that isur, and that's the other dimension. And therefore, says the Rashba, if you have a society in which no one cares about hezek riya, you know, everyone just opens up their doors, their windows. Harezen minag muter. There's a concept in halacha called minag bitos. If the custom was predicated on a mistake, which is antithetical to halacha, that custom is not binding. V'yeno minag me'achar shukarach be'isur. He says v'chein lemeidem minag amedino mikol mokum im nagu shalol lahakvid klal hezikriya shal abatim v'chatzeros minag tosu v'yeno minag. She'ein mechilas hakpodel b'mominos. Mechila is only operative with regard to monetary law. A person could say, I give up my rights to prevent you from damaging, but eino rashoi lifrog gidram shal Yisrael shalo linog b'tznius. He says, we cannot be porek tznius. We can't undermine the basic law of tznius. And therefore, it's goreim, if such a minog exists, it's goreim lehistalek shechina miYisrael. It's going to cause the shechina to leave Israel. And therefore he says, Rishus hayochid shal odom chayeves lahanik lo espratius sha'oso hu tzarek. Number one, a person's private domain has to guarantee him that no one will invade that privacy. Ein kol heter ladam lestakel etok rishuto pratit shal chaver. And on the other hand, a person has no right to look and gaze into his friend's property because Osa Kane Goren Shchina Listalik Misra. And therefore, the Rashba comes to the conclusion in the paragraph that starts Yeshlut Sayyin, Shabaon Shalagabea Minhag Lim Cholal Hezikriya, Data Rashba Sha'ein Khan Minhag Takef. That with regard to this custom in which people waive their rights for privacy, Ein kan minhag takef means the minhag is not binding. It's not recognized by halacha. V'karov ani lomar. Here the Rashba is getting close to ruling. Shafilu mochelo beferush. Forget about a minhag. What happens if the victim, the nizak, says explicitly, I forgo my rights to claim hezek re'iyah? Now the Rashba reverts back to the svara that we mentioned earlier in the name of the other Rishonim, that even if at one point in my life I thought that I would be able to tolerate you're invading my privacy. I couldn't have made a mechila on that because I cannot anticipate the level of suffering that goes on before. So in other words, the Rashba is saying that basically you have two different dinim that operate together simultaneously. One is the right of the nizak, of the victim, to force you to close that window down, even if he had an explicit mechila, because he could say, I didn't anticipate how bad it would be. And then there's another halacha, number two, that you cannot look through that window. And is it feasible for you to say, well, every time I go out, or every time I go through the door, or look through the window, I'm going to close my eyes in such a way that I won't see what's going on in the privacy of your backyard?
What do you do in a case where, let's say, two houses were constructed at the same time, or they don't remember, the houses were always like that, they don't remember which one was built first or second, and now both are just damaging each other?
So correct, or
which window?
Right, so in such cases, the halacha is that the two have to chip in, and each one can force the other one to pay 50% of whatever it takes to build some sort of protection against Hezekiah. Whatever it's going to be. Again, that also depends a lot on Minhag HaMedina, how much money you're going to spend. You know, there are certain walls and partitions that are more permanent than others, and that's the complicated sugya there at the very beginning of Bava Basra. Now the question I want to ask you is, what happens in contemporary times? Are there new dinim that apply today? And that's the section that says, Din Hezek Riya B'Mitziut Mishtaleh, in a changing environment, as we would say. To the halachas of Hezek Riya, as formulated by the Gemara and by the Poskim, apply today, given the fact that we build houses and apartments, and we have permission to do so with municipal, you know, the Iriyah gives us permission and so forth and so on, and there are new building techniques, would the halacha change? And Yeshna Misparni Mukim Shalafiyam Dine Hazekriya Asuyim Lishtanot Batem Limtsiut Mishtaneh. In other words, the contemporary post can decide that there are a number of factors in our society that play in and can impact on the laws of Hezekriya. For example, one point that we want to make is with regard to the prohibition of petach, keneged petach, or delet, mul delet. If you have one door across from the other. Today, bizman hazeh, hapgiya sheyesh b'kach hi kayom p'chuta harbe mi'bimei kena. In our day, the pgiya, the damage that you're doing and the problem that we're facing of one door against the other is far less severe than it was at the time of Chazal. And the reason for that is because the way we build our homes in our time, there is a prose door, and that's what you see if you look through the door, is a chamber or an antechamber, I guess you'd say. Somuch lepetach, v'ein osimbo ma'asim shebitzin'ah. No, since that's more or less like a public area, it's not like a bedroom, so the bedroom is all the way in the back. And therefore having a door against a door would not be the same kind of a problem. And he quotes this in the name of the Piskei Choshen, which one of the most important poskim in our time on Nezikin. But we have to go beyond this, he says, Benosaf Lekach. He says in the earlier times the windows were very small, and in order to bring light and air, you very often had to leave your door open. And that's for example, the case of an ohel. Remember, the pasuk in Bilam is referring to Olecha Yaakov. So therefore, the reason why they had to leave their doors open, which was a problem of Hezekiah, if your door is connected to my door, is because there wasn't enough light and air coming into the apartment. But in our day, he says, Kayom eino nahug lashir et daltot habayit ptuchot lirvacha. He says the general behavior today is that we don't leave the doors open. Umemela, therefore, pgiyah shel petach mul petach ptucha, pchuta, excuse me, is reduced, is diminished. So again, when in the old days they left the door open so you could see inside, it was very important to have people move their doors in a different way. But today, that people, generally speaking, keep their doors closed, and besides which there's an antechamber that leads into the bedroom where the privacy is done, is therefore the halacha might be reduced. So, kach donu haposkin, shema halacha shel chalonot tishtana Kayom. Perhaps we could be more laid back and lenient regarding opening up windows. And therefore, you know what? If a person decides that he wants to do something private, let him roll down the curtains, you know, the trisim. However, and this I told you I found on the internet, it's called Batei Din. The courts today try as much as they can to apply L'fsok halacha li'or haklalim hanakutim b'poskim. In other words, they try to apply the basic principles of Hezekiah as they appear in the poskim. Yachad, but at the same time, in hitchashvut misuyemet shal metziyut ha-mishtana. But the new changing, shall we say, environment does play a role. So for example, let's say there's municipal permission. Right? You're allowed, according to the Iriyah, to build a house or an extension to the house. You got a heter b'niyah, what's called. And the question is, would the Beit Din now take into account Hezekiah and block the decision of the municipality of the Iriyah? And in all cases, bevadai, he says, b'chol mikre specifi yesh lifnot l'gorei milchati, that you shouldn't rely just on the Iriyah, because the Iriyah is not interested in Hezekiah the way we understand it, but rather you should, you know, before you make any final decision, yesh lifnot l'gorei milchati musmach, and it might even require that you go to Beit Din to find out what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. And at the end of the day, Lamaisa, the decision has to be made by the Beit Din. And therefore he says, Kedai tamid lit ya'etz v'livdok et ha-matzav el-chati kodem Lamaisa, before you build your structure, you'll be well advised to get a recommendation from a halachic authority. Kedai limana migrimat Mirivot Bein Shechinim. Because at the end of the day, what's going to cause all sorts of problems amongst neighbors. I don't know if the tzibur here is, had any personal experience with that. My wife is an interior designer, so she's constantly involved with this kind of issues, you know, where the neighbors are complaining about this, that, and the other thing. And therefore, you want to build in such a way that up front, you avoid all these issues. Okay? So that's what we have on Hezekiah. The last thing I wanted to share with you, which is on the next page, if you have it, these are Shut Hilchati. Again, I just as an experiment, I wanted to share this with you. I thought it was very interesting. His first question deals with a young man. Okay, maybe that question is less relevant. All right. All right, there are a number of questions here that are fascinating. If anybody's interested, let me ask you a question. If a person comes from a mixed marriage and his mother is Jewish, what's his status? Jewish. He's Jewish. His father is not Jewish, and now his father undergoes gerus. Is he obligated in the midst of kibud av with regard to his biological father?
Rabbanan.
Okay, good. But what is the Rabbanan element of it?
That he is the father.
But why is that relevant? The Gemara says that ger kikatan shenola dami, that once this gerus, the gerus effectuates a complete detachment or a cutoff to all your biological relatives. So now, if the father, the biological father, converts, I would have said that even midrabanan there's no chiv a kibud.
Is that true that there's a kibbutz? No, you can't do that. There's issur legabe, you know, getting married and things like that. You can't marry your father. Your biological father, but I'm saying there's a
midrabban.
Right. Is it so clear that the mitzvah
kibbutz? Oh, so the poskim say, it's very interesting. If you get a chance to go through it here, that even when the father and the son are both non-Jews and their relationship is purely biological, even so, there is a maybe not a chiyuv kibbutz, but a kiyum kibbutz. And if you recall, the Gemara in Kedushin says that the laws of Kibbutz Avaim are derived from non-Jews. You remember the case of Dom Ben Asina. So that element of Kibbutz Av, which is probably anchored in Hakaras HaTov and gratitude, that remains despite the fact that your father now underwent conversion. In other words, the element of biological Kibbutz, not as the full-fledged Kibbutz, will still apply even in this case. And therefore, the poskim even suggests that if your father converts, your non-Jewish father converts and then he dies, that you should sit shiva for him. That there may even be a kiyum of avelus because of that biological relationship to your father. I found that very, very, very fascinating. In other words, even though formally, according to the definition of relatives, ger kikot and shenolad tovi, but nevertheless, there is still some, shall we say, vestige of the biological relationship. Rav Avadya Yosef has in a tshuva that it is permitted to recite Kaddish over a non-Jew. That's a chiddush. And he quotes various poskim that came before him that agree with him. And in the case of, for example, you have, you know, what's called Chasidei Umos HaOlam. Let's say, for example, there were in the Holocaust there were, you know, non-Jewish people that saved Jews. So it would be proper, according to many, many poskim, to recite Kaddish on behalf of a non-Jew who was mi Chasidei Umos HaOlam. That's pretty fascinating. And he quotes this in the name of this Zkan Aaron. This Zkan Aaron was the Rav in a city called Pinsk back in the day in Lita. Okay. So one last thing I want you to take a look at, and that is this question here. He speaks about a 23-year-old who has only a mother. He doesn't have a father. And his mother is suffering from a loose, not what's it called in English, pritzat disc, a
bacteria disc?
Yeah. A slip disc. She's also suffering from another of other serious ailments. And yesh gam aba karov shedoeg litzricha. He says that he also has a father. This I didn't know, because first he said ben yachid li'ima. No, I guess she doesn't have any other children. The father may have other children, right?
The woman's father. The mother's father.
Where does it say the mother's father?
That's the Abba Karov. And
Abba, Yesh Gam Abba Karov. Karov means her father?
I think so.
You think so? Okay. Ach v'achot shirchokim yoter ach adayim b'tmuna. Okay, we'll leave this for now. This will be more complicated for another time. Okay, Rabos, I just want to know one thing. Would you want to go back to the discussion that we started last week about Rosh Chodesh?
Yeah, very interesting.
That was interesting to you? Yeah. Okay. If not next week, then I believe neither. You know, I like to leave those discussions sometimes for Rosh Chodesh.
How can we apply these concepts to internet privacy? Because internet privacy is very, like, crazy, because a person, let's say...
Are you assuming that you're allowed to use the internet?
No, is there internet? Not about you're allowed to spy on people on the internet.
Right.
Because what the internet does is, it may not be a secret. Like, for you, you may feel like it's all that private that you do a search for diapers, but then you also did a search for a stroller, and then you also did a search for something else, and then suddenly, like on different sites at different times, and suddenly, like, Google and all the ad people figure out exactly who you are and where you live and exactly what you are. They know more about you than you do. And even from little bits and pieces of information.
Again, Hezek Ria, I think, and it's an original form, is my private property is being affected. I'm not able to live uninhibited in my own bedroom because somebody is looking in. Now, the fact that you can get access to information about me that may be private in nature,
it's your problem.
I don't know. Maybe that's, yeah. Maybe internet. Once it's out there on the internet, you know.
In our terms of service that you use, yeah. Glide is that we can watch every single one of your videos.
Of my videos?
I
know I had any videos.
Of anyone's videos. What about having an apartment like that faces, you know, like some of you have very tall buildings that no one can see you, but like the guy across the street from you can clearly see into your place. You can see into his place.
So that's a problem. That is Hezek Ria.
And all the
dinim of Hezek Ria go into detail about how to build a partition, and if you can climb up on the top of the partition and see down, that's also included on the Hezek Ria. He may be able to force you to build a partition low enough that it blocks your vision, But at the same time, even if you stood up on top of the partition, you still are not tall enough to see into his window.
That's how we all live today. All the buildings all over, that's the way they are. So
that also helps you for...
You're saying l'shvach l'gnai. I don't know what you're saying.
Walk into the mirror, every single building, if you look at your window, you're looking into someone else.
No, I heard that.
Yeah, it's really just comprehensive.
So I don't know. I don't know what the heter for that is. I'm not from Bnei Brak. But when you say Bnei Brak, you mean Yerushalayim and Kal Vachomer. That's what you meant. You didn't mean only in Bnei Brak.
You
know?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Said Trisim. Yeah, he said that the windows have Trisim, that's a heter.
Correct. Maybe they're relying on that heter of Trisim because, you know, people have to be careful, and when they're doing something private, they have to close the Trisim. But again, that's a change from the original halacha. And that's what the poskim, as we said before, will try to take into consideration when they're weighing their decisions, modern, contemporary, environmental changes. But in the original form of it, that would be absolutely prohibited. And not only could you as a victim force me to chip in for whatever partition we have to build, but I myself am enjoined from allowing a situation where I have the possibility of looking into your window. Today it's a little different. We have Trisim, or for example, you do your private stuff in an inner chamber. Like for example, in the laws of Yichud, would a man and a woman be allowed to be alone in the antechamber, in the living room, in the prosdor, you know? Some would say that since they're not in a private place yet, because anyone could barge in, the door is unlocked, and find them there, it's not yichud. Other poskim will say, well, wait a minute, all they have to do is stand up, the two of them, and go into a back room. So they're in a situation which is dangerously, you know, close to yichud, and therefore it's also. So it's the same thing here with Hezek Riyah. You know, we have situations today which aren't technically Hezek Riyah, but they might lead to Hezek Riyah. And we have to do, look, I don't have to tell you, in contemporary society, you mentioned the internet, but it's even without the internet. You know, people are doing things that they shouldn't be doing all the time. You know, they're tempted to look at people, and I don't even know, I'll tell you something else. I'm not even sure if walking down the street you're allowed to see what you see today. And I don't want to speak about Eretz Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom, you know, or anything on the street that I live on Shabbos, you know, Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Shalom. I don't even want to imagine such a thing. But if you go out to the world out there, you know, it's a real serious problem. And the Iser Staklus is a serious Iser, and it doesn't matter what age you are, how long your beard is, you know, none of that is relevant to halacha. And how do you navigate through the streets of anywhere? You know, people like to go on vacations on holidays, and they go to places, you know, like they go to the Swiss Alps or something. I mean, who knows what you see over there? Seeing the Alps is okay.
In this case,
no problem with the Alps.
In this case,
I don't want to keep you. So anyone who wants to stay can stay.
What if your bedroom window was like on the side of the building, and then there's a sidewalk? So can you make the city build a getter there? Can you like?
Well, again, are you talking about in halachic terms? I don't know the mice in terms of what we can force the
municipalities. Like who's it on? Who's it on when it faces like a Rishus HaRabim? Who's it?
Well, again, you know, the Rishus HaRabim belongs to the Rishus HaRabim. You don't own the Rishus HaRabim.
You build
a house in a Rishus HaYochin on private property.
Right.
That's going to be your headache. You have to protect yourself against the Rabim.
Because you can't charge the Rabim.
You can't sue the Rabim. That rights you don't have. You have rights to build your house in a way that'll protect you from Hezekiah. No one could build his house, even if it's in his private property, in a way that could affect you negatively through Hezekiah. But on the other hand, you cannot impinge yourself and circumscribe the Rabbim and say, well, wait a minute, I want to build a house here, get the heck out of here because you're interfering. That right you don't have.
I just had an idea. I'm going to start a construction company and make Mahadran houses.
Yes, I think it's a great idea. It's really a great idea.
Also?
You should know that there are, you mentioned, but there are neighborhoods in which they actually build a special way, you know, yeshuvim and stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
And then, by the way, I'm not talking about, you know, what color your yarmulke is. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the kpeda on tzniut. And they are now going back to these Mishnahis that we learned, these halachas of Matova Alecha Yaakov, and they are structuring it deliberately to avoid Hezekiah. This is becoming more and more popular in the new religious yeshuvim. Hopefully it'll affect all of Israel.
Well, how would you construct a merpeset that people can't see? That would be very difficult.
What do you mean that people won't see in you, into your merpeset? You mean?
Yeah.
Ah, that's something else.
Down below. You know,
merpeset is already assumed that people are not doing private stuff in a merpeset. You know that far we can't go. Merpeset is almost like a public area. You know. But in terms of the way that it's situated, you know, Dor Mul Dor, or Delet Mul Delet, and Petach Mul Petach, to build it in such a way, they hire architects for this, and they deliberately find ways of circumventing any issues of Hezekiah. So we're on the right track. And this is a parasha that I wanted to call to your attention to. You know, we're not dealing with the Rabbanans here. There may be extensions of the Rabbanan, but we're dealing with Dinim Doraita, you know, so we should know about that. You know.
The Taz said that like it wasn't just private things. It was everything's private. He's an edict, right?
Correct.
That exactly
correct.
What we all said.
Yeah, look, I want to eat in private. I don't want everyone to see me. I mean, look, there are people who come from a different culture than I come from, and I'm not judgmental of them, and they like to eat publicly.
Yeah.
I mean, I visited one of the fellows, you know, Ed Belfer, who's, anyway, he lives on Magalei Yavne, and in front of his apartment, there's a family that only likes to eat outdoors, as long as it's weather permitting. Yeah. You know? But I'm not from that, you know, this.
Right.
Even in a restaurant, I find when I go with my wife to eat, and we choose to eat outdoors, because it's much more pleasant outdoors, we try to find a little bit of a private place. Yeah. You know, nobody wants to have everyone looking and seeing what you do. You know, some people are tempted to want to know what's good in the restaurant. You know, what should I order? Because it's the first time you're going there. So you want to look at someone's food.
What's
you know,
he
it's
eating,
not.
Yeah.
What's he eating?
That's
and then. So again, if it's a Hamish environment, like I don't know if you've ever been to Italy. In Italy, like everyone knows everybody. It's like they sing together, they dance together, they do everything. You know, you could go on a train in Italy and all of a sudden the Italians start singing and they don't know each other and they're singing. It's a different kind of country, right? But, you know, so then you go over to a person and say, hey, by the way, how'd you like your food, you know? But normally people would like to be private. And, you know, in restaurants, especially if you sit in a restaurant which has a glass door that's transparent, people look at you. I find it uncomfortable, but many people, it doesn't faze them. You know, they don't mind if anyone's looking at this. My father-in-law has a kapeda that when he eats fish, you know, that makes sure that take away the eyes first, so the fish shouldn't look you in the eyes. Okay, Rabbi, so have a great week.